All right, now we're going to turn to our community board chairperson, Dennis Amor. Morning, Dennis.
Morning, Aaron.
So we've got, lots of bad weather. Is the weather interfering with any council construction projects, or it's not that big of a deal?
No, it's not that big of a deal. Most of the things that have been going on seem to be progressing without any hassle from the weather.
I had thought the wee nearer walkway, they'd said that the job would be completed by this month, but was I wrong about that, or have there been delays in getting the railing?
I haven't walked that way for a while.
It's been a week since I was down there, but the fence was still
My
up.
Understanding was it's going to be finished by the end of August. But if it's not finished, it will be. It's not sourcing the rail, it's getting all the rail anodized or something, or paint and that sort of thing that had to be done. So it can't be far away if it's not finished, but I thought it was meant to be finished. Certainly was meant to be finished by the end of September.
How many construction How many construction projects do you know that actually finish on the date?
Oh, there has been a few. We've got external things that force basically staying on program.
Yeah, it depends how big the punishment is, I guess, or if there is one.
Yeah, if you've got liquidated damages to deal with if you overrun and various things like that. So,
well, that's for big, crucial infrastructure projects. There is no consequence to not having the railing because we've got a temporary railing. So I guess it's just a question I sometimes think about. I'm used to that in the construction industry. Most projects seem to overrun. Do I make a song and dance about it, or do we just accept that that's life?
Well, it depends why it overruns, and depends whether there's an increase in cost in the fact that it has overrun, or whether you've got a lump sum contract and it's not going to cost you any more and it's not an inconvenience to anyone.
Yeah.
So there's a few issues that crop up there. You know, if you take the work that's going to happen at Papahua with the stormwater drainage and things like that, if that's still all open at Christmas time, then, yeah, you've got a huge problem, because it's probably going to cost them revenue and things like that. So that job is planned to be finished at the end of November, with the pumps being installed in the first week of December.
So have you looked over the plans for that project? Oh, were you on the decision-making group?
Yeah, I was involved in the tender award or discussion on the tender and that sort of thing. I have only had a cursory look at the plans, because we didn't need to look at the detail of the design or anything as part of that exercise. But a contract has been awarded, and they should have mobilised. What's the date today? Sixth
today. Yep.
Yeah. So they should have mobilised on site on Tuesday or Wednesday. So there should be some gear sitting over there, and some temporary fencing starting to happen. So things should be starting to move.
And so, generally, what is happening with that project?
Well, basically, it's a stormwater upgrade to try and stop all the flooding that historically they've had in the camping ground. With some additional work to really alleviate the flooding on the soccer fields as well.
Yes.
So there's drainage pipes going in and a pumping station going in.
Okay, where's the pump station going in? Which part of the... Sorry, I know this field too well, so I want to know exactly where the pump's going.
I would have to look at the design to know exactly where it's going, but I think it's on sort of in the area of the interface between the soccer field and the camping ground in that area, but don't quote me without me having a look at the plans or talking to Richard.
One of the problems that was noticed over the last few years was that there was a pump by where the BMX track is.
Yeah, yeah,
there was a little sump and a pump in there.
Yeah,
it was bigger than it had been. But the problem with that was that it was on the same electrical circuit as the lights that light up the tree by the changing rooms, and people were always smashing the lights and then breaking the circuit, and then the pump didn't work for sometimes weeks at a time. So I'm curious, and you said you haven't looked at that much detail, but whether that problem is going to be solved as part of this?
It's off a totally different circuit. Off supplies from within the camping ground.
Okay, well, as someone who spent years and years trying to get council staff in the campground to take that issue seriously and explain that you can't just stop the flooding at the campground and the water, you know, the water in the soccer fields doesn't care there's a fence there, it just goes on through. I am pleased to hear that this is happening.
Yeah, well, let's hope it does resolve, meets the outcomes that everyone's expecting, in which case, yeah, it should make that a lot, alleviate some of that problem in the wintertime.
Yeah, and since we got the soccer fields to talk about, there's the, what's it called, the Places and Spaces consultation. So this is about any council thing, like a park or a library or toilets, that we want to make comment on at the moment?
Well, it's Yeah, I went on it the other day because it's an interactive thing, and you click on the reserve you want to comment on, or the park, and I sort of wanted to make some comments about the soccer fields and about Wainuiri Reserve development and things like that. But you can't actually, like, it doesn't include Wainuiri Reserve. It only seems to include things like the rugby field or that type of thing. So.
Oh, okay. I didn't try because I made a comment on the Papahua part of the map, but I didn't try at Wainuiri Reserve.
Yeah, I found I couldn't. Maybe it's my lack of skill.
It's pretty easy to use, Dennis. I don't think it's you.
So, but yeah, people might go on there and have a play with it and make comments if they want to.
Yeah, we've got, I think tomorrow is the last day, is it?
Or is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's stopping really soon.
There is a separate exercise being done by council to look at sports fields within the Ragland area.
Last day. It could be today, I think, actually. It could be the last day.
Okay, well, you got till the end of the day then.
Yeah, I actually admire the way they've done it and that it's really easy for a casual person to make a comment, but not many people have casually turned up and made comments, unfortunately. And I wonder if people need to see some firm plans and then they react to those plans before you get much feedback.
Yeah, or are we marketing it incorrectly and that we're not getting a wide enough audience seeing that the opportunities available?
I feel like we haven't done enough to promote it, although we did when it opened. But
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe there's an issue there as well that we need to address. But like I was going to say, separately there's a exercise going on looking at sports fields and that side of thing in Raglan and the demand and what the growth demand will be. And where are other opportunities to build a sports field? So, you know,
How far ahead is it looking at? How many years ahead does it look?
I believe it's looking sort of 30 or 40 years
ahead.
Okay,
good.
Yeah. So, you know, it's looking at, say, the rugby fields and saying, well, you know, are we going to have coastal inundation that's going to flood those? Do we need to relocate them at some point in time where we're going to relocate them to?
Yeah.
And there is an exercise being done on that by the Parks and Open Spaces team and that... Because they have been discussions with them the other day, they did admit that we have an issue that, you know, going forward, Raglan is under-resourced in sports fields at the present time, be they indoor or outdoor ones. So
yes, okay.
The issue from that is, yeah, if we relocate them, and you and I have talked about the soccer field several times, is where do we relocate them to, and is Wainuiri Reserve an opportunity for that?
It's an easy fix because the land already exists under council ownership. So,
yeah,
and some of it, I know some of it is under a treaty claim, but a lot of it isn't. So,
yeah, and then we run into once we start doing that and the discussion with Open Spaces then led on to what's happening with the disposal fields for the wastewater system and things like that. And it sounds like Wainuiri Reserve is becoming the priority, number one priority area for that.
But wouldn't that work? So, well, wouldn't that water and fertilise the fields if it was done right?
Well, it depends where they're going to dispose of it and what the implications of that are. So there's a few other things then creep into it. So we just, yeah, be interesting to see what Open Spaces come up with.
Okay, so, all right. That, I mean, finding flat land is challenging around our area. Like Te Uku is kind of, when I try to think of some flat land, aside from the reserve and close to the water, it's Te Uku, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got flat land at Carraw and things like that. But, yeah, then you start getting a long way away, you know.
Yeah, point, yeah.
You need to be able to jump on your push bike, or if you're young guys, jump on your push bike and pedal there.
I've got to admit,
kick a ball around and do whatever.
Papahua is good like that. Like when I was coaching, the kids would just walk down from the area school. And the kids who came from, the younger ones who came from Tamata and Te Uku on the bus, they were dropped off by the library, walk across the bridge and the fields are right there. So it did work beautifully in that regard.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, and it was, but there's always been this issue with Papahua that it's like not technically it's not really council land, it's kind of dock land, but kind of not. Like it was in this kind of hazy grey area, and it's always been really hard to get investment in that area. And like last weekend, I was up at my daughter's soccer game in Auckland at Ellerslie Soccer Club, and they've got this fantastic, beautiful new complex. Yeah. And I was saying to my wife, I said, in Raglan, we have an old shipping container. That's the comparison.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know they're a big club with thousands of people, but the fact that there's still only a single shipping container at Papahua and under-resourcing, yeah. Hopefully that comes up, that discussion comes up too.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, talking with Matthew or the Open Spaces team, they're hoping to have that completed before Christmas.
Okay. Well, I look forward to reading that.
Yep.
going over it with a fine-tooth comb.
I'm sure you will.
We were talking before about construction projects around town. The wharf ramp, that's been renewed. How's that?
They've done one half of it. The second half, and I think it was 21 days, 14 days or 21 days after that was done, they were going to then start preparing for the second half.
Oh, they have to let the concrete harden.
Yeah, they need to let the concrete cure. So hopefully that can't be that far away from doing the second half, and then that'll obviously have to cure for 2 to 3 weeks, and then it'll be fully available to everyone.
Seems like a fairly simple project, that one.
Yeah, it is a reasonably straightforward project. There's been quite a bit of interaction with the various stakeholders that use it, and that sort of thing. That's gone reasonably well. It's progressing well.
Okay. The Manu Bay breakwall, I don't imagine there's much news on that, but I just want to check in, because we've had the... Well, there's a decision to be made out of those five potential solutions, aren't there?
Yeah, a decision's been made by someone in council, and the report is going to the Infrastructure Committee. And from what I've read, basically they've decided that because the stakeholders can't agree on a solution, that they've decided that they'll do nothing. Which, unfortunately, is something that really does worry me, because if I read what I read correctly, and the decision's been made on the basis that stakeholders can't agree, then I don't think they've been honest with themselves, to be honest.
Well, the issue we've got is we've got a fishing club that needs one set of things, and we've got the surf club that wants something else, and they're a little bit opposed. And so it's going to be very hard to get agreement between two parties in that situation. And isn't it the council's job to be the parent, if you will?
Well, it is. And to me, it's a risk analysis decision, as far as I can work out. You know, do you determine, is the boat ramp... Council own the asset.
Mm.
So therefore, they've got to determine whether the asset in the present condition is safe or not.
Which we're pretty sure it's not.
Yeah, and then they've got to work through the process of, if it's not safe, how unsafe is it? And is it a minor risk or is it a major risk?
But shouldn't that have happened already?
Well, it would have, but when you read the document I read, the decision seems to be made on the fact that the stakeholders couldn't agree, which is completely bloody idiotic.
Is that some of the pressure on the council budget at the moment sort of showing through there? Like, here's a chance to not spend money?
I don't. There's another example, exactly the same thing, where we're trying to get access through the Wainuiri Reserve to connect the bike way, mountain bike, so people can bike from Raglan right out to and onto the reserve.
Oh, yeah.
And go to the end of where the footpath's been widened to 2 metres, then go through the reserve and up through there. And when I met with the Open Space Group this week, they'd had a meeting with the Wainuiri Reserve people, and they don't want them to go through the reserve, so the council has decided that that's too hard as well.
So they basically met one stakeholder group?
Yeah.
And not the others?
Well, I think the bike guys were there as well.
Okay.
But, you know, because one group says it's too hard, they decide they're not going to proceed, and it seems to be a bit of a trend. I'm seeing a bit of a trend. And so at the end of the day, we need to decide whether we're going to be a progressive bloody council or where minority groups are going to dictate what happens.
Is that if you behave aggressively enough, the council staff back down?
It would appear that way.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, I don't know if this is accurate, but I kind of feel like it's your guys' job as the political representatives to get in the middle of that and try and... I think the staff should be protected from... Some of that community are horrible to people. Like, I've seen it. And abusive behaviour is not acceptable in any circumstances, but by the same token, you've got to have a solution to that, I guess.
Yeah, we've got to come to a solution. So, you know, I've said to them that I want to go out there with the council parks and guys and see what the options are.
Yeah.
And then we all have to make a decision, you know. We'll try and meet some of the needs of the Wainuiri Reserve people, but if we can't, then, or it's going to be very expensive to do something alternative, then yeah, some hard decisions will need to be made. After all, it is council land.
Okay, all right, well, we'll wait and see on that one. Civil defence issues, have we got... There's something in this agenda, isn't there? Because, we've got a community board meeting next Wednesday. I didn't mention that at the top, but...
At Te Uku, too, by the way.
At Te Uku, right. So on your bikes.
Yeah, on your bikes. Don't walk. Just ride.
Get someone
to give you a ride.
State Highway 23 is really not that flash for biking.
No, it's not. In fact, it can be quite frustrating because I've come up behind a bike, someone cycling pretty far at times, and when you're doing 100K and they're doing whatever they are, 20K, you do come up upon them pretty quick, and you've got to take evasive action sometimes because not all of them are on the very side of the road.
It's not a place. I wouldn't let my kids bike from there. We knew some people just out of town, and I did the bike ride myself once. I was like, no, you guys are not doing that.
Yeah, it's
just not safe. Yeah, and I know, and it's all right for adults to make that choice. But anyway,
civil defence.
So yeah, that's what we were talking about.
The civil defence plans coming up for ratification at the community board meeting. And then we're looking at getting a team of people together in about the first or second week of October to sort of try and see who wants to fill what roles. So Raglan Radio should get an email or something from us soon saying, hey, okay, we're planning this meeting, and try and get all the interested parties together and sit down and see who will fill what roles and how we can sort of put a team together to be able to lead that in the case of an emergency.
Are you still interested in hearing from just people in the community who might want to participate?
Well, if there's someone there with some skills in the right areas, certainly.
Yeah.
Wouldn't never turn anyone down and that sort of thing. But we've sort of identified the people that are sort of running responsible for the various halls, for example.
Yeah.
Get them along so that they know what would be required. But we still need someone to look after comms, someone to look after logistics and various things like that. So if people got skills in those types of areas, then yeah, certainly interested.
Okay, all right. So that's coming up. What was I going to talk about else? Oh, the Greenslade Road Playground. Is there any update on that at all?
I believe the design's being done at the present time. I haven't had any feedback when the installation's going to happen.
Yeah.
One would like to think they can get the design done and get it installed prior to Christmas, but hey, who knows?
Yeah. Let's talk about that, back to the civil defence, the power outage, which caused the cell phones to come down. And I know on the daytime, we had this conversation already, during that one day, that's not a big deal to lose your cell phone. But the issue that I thought, the background to it for me is Cyclone Gabrielle. When the government said we can't talk to anyone in that whole region, like we've lost contact with that whole region, in this day and age that was fairly sobering during an emergency like that. And the issue was that the private phone companies they have battery backups for 4 to 8 hours typically in their cell phone towers, and then after that nothing.
You're right.
And there was discussion like, oh, we need to change that. But obviously, what we learned the other day was that hasn't changed.
Right. Yep.
So, I mean, I guess there's a lesson for people when there's a civil defence emergency, you can't rely on your phones.
Well, I guess that's a reality. Like I said, when you sent an email out on the subject, I basically hadn't even noticed my cell phone wasn't working.
Mm.
But then I don't use mine a hell of as much as a lot of people do. But I think, yeah, it's whether the likes of Chorus Telecom and various outfits, one NZ now, I think they're called, are actually looking at making their systems more robust so that, they'll have 24-hour cover or something like that.
They're not, because I asked about, I messaged Spark's media team and I was like, what's happening? And they said, well, we are looking at upgrading the cell phone tower up by the water tower. But that was just part of their normal program of reviewing their equipment every few years. So it wasn't because they thought, we need to have 24 hours of cell phone. It was
battery
just
cover.
It was just 4 to 8, which turned into 1 to 2 in reality.
Yeah, and I can understand to a certain extent, because once they start putting batteries in, or 24, they can cover 24-hour loss of power and things like that, then there's a whole lot of other maintenance issues and maintaining those and things like that as well. Yeah, I don't know what the solution is. I guess councils, I would imagine, and I'll talk to Scott, whether they have satellite phones that they can use during those periods to get communications between different areas, which would work.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have to be something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Now, we had a chat before we went on the air because there was an item that came up in the news a couple of weeks ago about local government in New Zealand suggesting a bed tax for councils – to cope with, and it's an issue for Raglan because we have so many Airbnbs and so many tourists coming through, and tourists using our infrastructure, but the people paying for the infrastructure are only the ratepayers in our small communities. I know the community board doesn't get a big say about this, but would the community board be interested in discussing the idea of a bed tax? Should I put it that way?
I guess it's a difficult one. It's the big issue for me with a bed tax is how do you actually police it? How do you collect the revenue?
Yeah.
And we're seeing this. We're seeing the issue of taxes associated with Bukabach and Airbnb raised recently, and that Airbnb, for example, now want all your tax numbers, and they're collecting that on behalf of the government, I believe.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. They would have to have a bed tax, they would have to get them on board. They would then have to collect the money, and then that money, one would hope, would then become available to that associated community.
Yes.
You wouldn't want to see it go into New Zealand government coffers, or you wouldn't want to see it go into a big pool in Waikato District Council coffers either. You'd want to think that if it's being raised from a bed tax that's in Raglan, that money goes back into infrastructure within Raglan.
Yeah, which is specifically the problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, there's been a lot of discussion over the years, and there's been a lot of negative feedback on it. People that have got Airbnbs and the likes don't really want it. I guess at the end of the day, it'll push up the price. Because people that have got an Airbnb will just add it on to the price. So
yeah, well, I would call it shifts the cost over to away from me to the tourists, basically.
Yeah.
If I'm looking from a purely selfish point of view.
And it's again comes back to then how much is administrative cost going to be compared to about how much revenue we actually get out of it.
Well, you'd hope with a computer system, once you get it set up and running, that everything would just flow. Yeah. I know the world doesn't seem to work like that, but
no, I know.
But we do have problems caused by, like, not people who have a back room that they're renting out as an Airbnb, but houses that get taken out of the normal residential pool and turned into Airbnbs. Certainly that's coincided with us not having spare rental properties in town, for instance.
Yeah, that was what they were saying a couple of years ago. I don't know how many houses in Raglan are purely Airbnb. I've never done an exercise as against how many are just a room or an attachment to a house where people are living that have got an Airbnb attached. Like, you know, we lease ours out a few times a year, but it's a granny flat attached to our house. And even if we weren't using it on Airbnb from time to time, we certainly wouldn't be renting it because basically it's there for family to use when they want to.
Yeah, so you only put it on Airbnb when your family aren't using it.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's never on Airbnb on school holidays, for example, which might seem weird because that's probably when you're going to make most of your money, but it's also when all our family use it.
Well, yeah, it's not just about making money, obviously.
No.
It's a family situation. Yeah, I only brought this up because it was in the national news. Local government New Zealand were doing something about it. Everyone talks about how there's problems here with the housing, as there is in a lot of communities, but I don't hear a lot of constructive solutions being proposed in the community. At least this was an idea that we could look at.
Yeah, I get, well, you know, for me it should be easily collected because Airbnb are doing it for tax purposes now for the government, so they should be able to do it easy enough and implement it easy enough. It's just that, for me, it'd be making sure the money comes back to the community, and then what sort of charge do you have that doesn't discourage people from coming to Raglan, because they don't just use the infrastructure, they also spend a hell of a lot of money in the community.
Yeah.
You know, everyone that I've had, but 99% of people probably I could say that stay in Airbnb, don't cook there. They always go out for a meal and that sort of thing. So money is being spent in the community while they're here.
Yeah, I guess it's about addressing those imbalances. I did ask Lisa about this. It might have been off the air, but she said that some of the councillors were opposed to the idea.
Okay.
And her comment was kind of like, you want to try living where we live and see the effect it has before you say that. Those were not her words, but
yeah.
That was kind of what she was saying to them, yeah. Hey, folks, we're talking to our community board chairperson, Dennis Amor. Dennis, is there any other stuff you've been up to in the last little while since we last spoke to you?
No, those are the main things.
All those projects.
I guess there are a couple of things out for consultation, like you said.
Oh yes.
The places on parks and reserves is out and closes today, so people need to feedback into that.
Yeah, and it's really easy, folks. Not many people have taken advantage of it, but this is early consultation. I hear people say, oh, once the council is consulting and they've written their stuff up, they really don't want to change it. And there's an element of truth to that, but this is consulting before they've written stuff up. So it really is a good time. So get onto the council website and look for places and spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably the other thing that's been going on, there's a bit of talk about, we've been doing a bit of work with open spaces and with fees and charges. Open spaces, we're looking to try and have a designated overflow car park that's open at Wainui Reserve. So it'll be open Thursday through to Sunday.
For summertime.
Right through the whole of the summer.
Yeah.
And then from just before Christmas to Waitangi, to be open 7 days a week and just left open. So that'd be sort of looking at the parking area and the amphitheatre. We do lose it for a couple of weeks because of sound splash, but I'm sort of requesting that we have an alternative location up there for overflow parking, because each year it gets worse and worse.
And there is plenty of room up there.
Yeah, there's plenty of room for parking. They've just got to open it up and get the gates open and let people park on the grass at that time of the year. It's not a problem.